Does God need anything? That's an interesting question. Does God need anything? He's God, right? He's all sufficient. He's everywhere. He can do anything. But he does have needs. He has needs, and that's what I see whenever I read this story in the Gospel of Luke or any of the Gospels. We see Jesus having a need of an animal that he might ride on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, fulfilling purpose that he'd come. And it's just always been fascinating to me when I consider the needs that Jesus has or had during those times. But now, today, he still has need for what? He has need for fellowship. He has need for us. He has need for us to have a relationship with him. And we get to have a relationship with God. We get to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would submit, not only does God need us, we need him. Probably more. We need the Lord in our lives. We need him to be moving. We need him to be acting. We need him to be doing things on our behalf, helping us bring glory and honor to him, as I said in my prayer. See, God desires to have fellowship. Here's the crazy part, with you and me. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have fellowship with me. He wants to have that relationship so that it's so close, so intimate, that not only would we learn more about his character, but we would see his power displayed in our lives. Do you want to see God's power displayed in your life? I sure do. I want to see him working in my life. I want to see him moving in such a way that I can point and say, that was the Lord that did that in my life. Again, giving testimony for him. You know, we call it Palm Sunday. And as the disciples and those in Jerusalem were laying down those palm branches as Jesus was approaching, there's not really a great significance to the palm itself. It speaks of peace. It speaks of goodness. It speaks of victory. It speaks of life. But there's no prophetic prophecy that speaks about a palm, though we call it Palm Sunday. But when you think about the animal that Jesus rode on, there's prophecy that's foretold that the Messiah would come on the back of an animal. So quite honestly, we should be calling this Donkey Sunday. I kid, of course. But it's interesting to me when you look at the life of this animal. It was a colt. It was a foal of a donkey. It was one that had never been ridden. It was perfect in every way. And yet Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah himself, had need of that animal. Man, I got to tell you, sometimes in my life, I want to be used in the same way that that animal was. I'm making myself available to God. And here's something I just learned this year as I studied this scripture. The only thing that does not speak in this entire story is the donkey. Boy, is that a message for some of us. That we would be silent before God and just let ourselves be available to be used by him. God doesn't need a whole lot of spokesmen. God's word speaks powerfully enough. Yes, we're to speak when God gives us the ability to speak, but we're also to be available for God in his service when he wants us to. So that's the title of today's message, as you see. God needs you. God needs you. And to think about that is just a lot. Sometimes it can be very overwhelming. God, I don't want to let you down, right? We don't want to let God down. If he has need of us, if he wants to use us in some way, Lord, don't let us down. How many of us have missed an opportunity to serve the Lord? You know, we've walked away from a situation and, oh my gosh, that person needed help. That person needed prayer and I didn't pray for them. That person, needed some encouragement and I didn't encourage them. Man, that's one of those things like, oh Lord, please don't let me miss those opportunities because he had need of me at that moment. Now I know God is God and he can use anybody and he'll take care of his will and he'll do the things that he wants to do. But I want to make sure that I'm like that donkey, available to the master's use. Available to him. I'm going to show you the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Written in the text of our Old Testament is God's word that foretold about the Messiah coming into Jerusalem. And we're going to see our Bible tells us the very day that he was going to show up. Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Again, Jesus is the living word. He knew what the Bible said. He knew what the word of God said because he wrote it. He spoke it. And so he was fulfilling that. And there is prophecy happening in our lives today that we need to be aware of, right? The sign of the times that we're living in. We know that Jesus is coming back. The Bible tells us of his imminent return. And so we must be ready. And I love the fact that Jesus in this story shows very clearly that my word is true and I will fulfill it. Do you need to hear that this morning? That God's a fulfiller of his word, his promises to us. His promises written in the text of the Bible is something that we can hold on to and look for. Now, I'm not one of those guys that wants to turn over every rock and try to figure out, you know, prophecy, that things that are happening in the world. I want God to reveal his prophecy to me. I want to be prepared. But I don't want to be one of those people that speaks outside the context of the scriptures. What I know about the return of Christ is he's coming, right? I can't tell you it's next Wednesday, but nice if it was. But I know he's coming. I do believe we should be ready today for his return, prepared for that, because he has need of us. God needs you and he needs me. And I want to look at this area of text and look at four things that he needs from us. Look at verse 28 once again in Luke chapter 19. We read, "When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owner of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.'" So the first thing I want us to focus in on here, number one, is God needs us and needs you to trust him. To trust him. In this context, Jesus tells two of his disciples to go into a city not far from them, and they're going to find something. They're going to find this colt. They're going to find this foal of a donkey, and it's going to be tied up. And Jesus, obviously, he knows all things, says, if anybody asks you why you're loosening it, just tell them the Lord has need of it. Now, some believe that Jesus had prepared this in advance, but Jesus, again, knows everything. But we have to trust God's word. We have to trust the truth of what Jesus says to us. No matter what the world around us is saying, no matter what the world is leaning towards or what they think is, you know, conventional wisdom. Wisdom we receive is from the word of God. Wisdom we receive comes straight from God. Listen, in prayer, when God speaks to our hearts, when our hearts are right before the Lord. I was sitting with someone this week talking about, you know, figuring out God's will. Like, how do you know if it's God's will or my will? How do we know the things that we want in our lives isn't what we want, or is it truly what God wants? And for me, over my life, if my heart stays in a place of being sensitive to the leading of God, I will sense when he's going, you don't really want what you're asking for. Or he's saying, you'll get it when I'm ready to give it to you. As long as our hearts are right. Now, if I ignore God and don't even consider him, and I just move forward, and then later on say, God, please bless this bad decision I made, That's backwards, right? We want to bring it before the Lord first. Our hearts need to be right as we're being guided by God. Trusting in the Lord. Is there anyone else we can really trust in as much as we can trust the Lord? Have you ever tried trusting in anybody else? Have you ever been hurt by trusting someone else? You'll never get hurt by trusting God. Because even when he gives you really what you didn't ask for, you're going to realize it's the best thing for you, right? You've come to understand that God only wants good things for us. So to me, the first thing about this story is they had to trust what Jesus was saying. Now, Jesus, don't you agree that Jesus could have had the donkey just kind of show up on the scene? He's God, right? But for some reason, he wanted these two to go and find it just the way it said. It says in our text. Because God wants to work with us. Isn't that great? God wants to partner with us in the work that he wants to accomplish. He wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to experience things, spiritual things in our lives with him. We have to trust him, right? Even we don't know what the outcome's going to be, he does. And so he tells these two disciples to go and find this colt tied up. And if anybody asks, you just tell them the Lord has need of it. And what makes me think about the things that the Lord needed in his life? You know, he needed an empty tomb that someone would loan to him so he could rise from it, right? He needed loaves of bread and some fish to feed thousands of people. He had need for that. And it's just amazing how God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "For you knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus lived his life and laid down his deity during his earthly ministry for us. He became poor that we would become rich. Now I know this verse is speaking of the riches that we receive spiritually. But God is going to do what he needs to do in your life to allow you to be a participant in it. It is our job to be very, very sensitive to what God is speaking. Because we don't have Jesus Christ here in person telling us to do this and to go there. What do we have? We have prayer with him. We have the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and puts things on our hearts. You know, someone this last couple weeks felt that the Lord had placed it upon their heart that they need to come on this property and be praying over this property. And when they first said, "Is it okay if I come over?" I'm like, "Can you imagine? So God told you to come over here and pray." "Yeah, I don't want you to do that." "No, I'm saying yes, come." But that person was sensitive enough to listen to what God said and was obedient to do it. I wonder how many things God has asked us to do and maybe we didn't have time, or maybe we were too busy, or no, that won't work, or they won't let me. Listen, this is God's. And if we can't practice our spiritual relationship with God here at church, we'll never do it out there. This is the equipping ground, my friends. If this isn't a place where you can pray bold prayers, and if this isn't a place where you can, quote unquote, make mistakes doing ministry, we're never going to be able to do it out there. If you can't be at peace to pray with someone or to share with someone here in church, then when you get to the workplace, you're not going to do it. But if you're practicing and exercising your faith here at church, it'll be much easier for you at work to go, "You're having a bad day, or you're struggling with your finance. Can I pray with you? Can I maybe come alongside you and help you?" Because we're equipped. And God, we need to trust he will provide for us. If he's asking you to meet a need, he will meet your needs. God doesn't leave us and abandon us. He provides for us. He's the one working through us. Whether it's preaching the word or feeding the multitudes, God needs you. whether it's praying with someone or visiting someone who's sick, God needs you. Be sensitive to these things. Be open to the things that God wants to do in your life. Again, in verse 32, so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. I've highlighted that in my Bible. Because if God tells you something, it's going to be just as he said. God fulfills his word. All we have to do is trust him. Amen? Trust him with his word. Next, look at verse 35. Then they brought him to Jesus, that being the colt. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? How amazing it must have been as Jesus was coming down on this colt. And everyone just broke out in worship. No one leading. No one starting it. It was spontaneous. It was something that just flowed out of their hearts. See, to me, the first thing is we need to trust him. The second thing is he needs us to praise him. To praise God. And I'm not just talking about Sunday mornings at church. Again, 25 minutes worshiping the Lord this morning prepares our hearts for his word, but it should also prepare us to be people of worship. Are we truly praising God all the time? Just spontaneously. I'm not a great singer, my wife will tell you. But when I'm in the car by myself, man, and there's a great worship song, I turn it up loud so I can't hear myself, and I just worship the Lord. Just let it, something cleansing about it, isn't there? Just lifting your voice and worshiping the Lord. Wednesday night, we usually do a Bible study, but this last particular Wednesday night, we had a time of prayer. And I, for one, was so blessed by the prayers that were prayed by how many people, I don't know, 12, 15 people that had come out for our Bible study. And someone took notice that most of the prayers we were praying were prayers of thanksgiving. That we were thanking God for things in our lives. We were thanking God for how he's worked in our lives, or how he's answered a prayer, or how he's going to answer. And to truly have that thankful and prayerful heart is something that must so please the Lord. I mean, that's praise. Praising him. Again, trusting that he hears our voices, he hears our prayers, and I believe right now he's at work answering those prayers. And it's just a wonderful thing. We have to keep an attitude of worship. It must overflow from our time here at church. And maybe you needed to hear that this morning. That maybe something's that's going on in your life that's kind of got you bogged down and overwhelmed. That if you would begin to just worship the Lord, if you'd begin to just praise him. Listen, there's a lot of things maybe you were asking the Lord to do in our lives. There are a lot of things that we're asking God to orchestrate in our lives. But are we just praising him? Listen, for who he is. As you heard in my opening prayer, we need to be thankful for who God is. I'm thankful for what he can do. I'm thankful for what he's done in my life, but I'm also just thankful for him. It's like, Lord, as you are entering into Jerusalem to die for us, in a moment we're going to read that he's weeping over Jerusalem. His heart is broken because they were not expecting him. The religious leaders were not expecting him. But this spontaneous worship, where in your life can you insert a little bit of time of worship? Maybe it's driving to your office. Maybe it's in the morning when you're getting ready. Turn on some worship music. Let it wash over you. Let the lyrics speak to you. You know, when we sing these songs, this isn't just entertainment, right? We mean the words that we're saying. We should be lifting our hearts to God in our time of worship. What interferes with your ability to worship? And I'll say it for all of us, life. Life interferes, right? Aches and pains, you know, stress in life, difficulty in finances, things that aren't going the way we thought they were going to go. We all have that. We all have those experiences, and those penetrate and affect our worship. Look what verse 39 says. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." What a contrast between a group of who knows how many spontaneously worshiping and the religious leaders that were supposed to lead people to God say, "Could you tell them to be quiet?" You want to talk about a hard heart. What an amazing contrast. And I just got to ask ourselves, which one am I? Am I the disciple that just worships the Lord? Or am I that Pharisee that says, "Stop telling me about God"? May we never get to that place where there's someone else hindering our ability to worship God. If someone tells you to stop worshiping God, you need to stop listening to that person. Hopefully it's not a spouse. But we truly need to be people of praise. The Pharisees were blinded by their own desires. And we need to keep our hearts right before God and to be praising the Lord. You know, find a song that you like. I know there's people, they like the old-time hymns or some of the more current worship. Whatever it is that kind of gets you going and gets you on fire for the Lord, fill that into your life. Whether it's you singing it or listening to it, it will change your perspective on life because it'll help you trust God and it'll help you praise Him even in the storms, even in those storms. Third thing, look at verse 39 again. And some of the Pharisees called Him and from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Look what Jesus says. But He answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Creation knew what was happening. Creation knew the Messiah was coming to bring salvation. And it would have raised up in worship had they stopped. Verse 41. Now as He drew near, He saw the city, and there it is, and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And we all need to know. Jesus was speaking these words, and this came to pass. The destruction of Jerusalem. It was a prophetic word that you were not expecting your Messiah to come when they should have absolutely known. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth to the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times." God told them, this is when it's going to happen. This is exactly the day that it will happen, and that's the exact day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Can we trust the Lord? God is outside of time, my friends, and we can trust Him to fulfill His purposes. But we need to know. That's another thing God needs from you, is to know Him, to know His word, to understand what the scriptures say. And you know how you understand what the scriptures say? You stay in the scriptures. You read the word of God. And you allow it to speak to our hearts. That's why Jesus is weeping. Because they did not expect his return. They were not waiting for him to come back. May we not be those people that find ourselves blind to the times that we're living in. Now is the day of salvation. People need to know that the end is drawing near. And it's us, the church, that needs to lead people to the salvation that Christ gives to us before it's too late. May we not be those Christians that go, darn it, I should have talked to that coworker. Darn it, I should have spent more time with my family member. Listen, I know it can be frustrating. Time and time and time again, we share, we share, we share. We don't know when a person's time is a person's time. And there's someone in our church who just lost their son. But at the end of his life, he gave his life to the Lord. Praise God. So that, as much as this mother's heart is broken, she's rejoicing in the truth that her son is with the Lord. And we all know that struggle. We know the struggle of losing a loved one and knowing where they are still hurts. It's still painful. I still miss my brother. I still miss my mother. But I immediately respond to that hurt. They're in heaven. They're better off where they are. They're doing better than us, right? Praise God. And to know that we know that. So it's almost, you know, the mind and the heart, right? The mind knows, but the heart's broken. So we need to know Jesus is coming back. And for some of us in this room, he's been coming back for a long time. That's right, he has. Because every generation needed to know the hope of the return of Christ. That's God's infinite wisdom to keep us on our toes and to be ready for his return. Do you know him? Do you know enough about the word of God? There's Christians out there that just don't know the truth. They just don't know the hope that we have in Christ. And sure, the hope of our future in heaven is wonderful, and it does not erase the pain of this world, but it sure does make it a lot more bearable. Or it should. As I said, I was able to speak a little bit with that mother who lost her son. And when we first got on the phone, we were talking about the celebration service that she wants to do to celebrate the life of her son. In the beginning of our conversation, she was very down and discouraged, and I can sense the pain. But over the time of our conversation and talking about what we want to do during the celebration service and remembering her son and bringing testimony of the things that God did in his life, you could just see her countenance change and to be encouraged. And that's the hope that we have, right? The message of hope that is in Jesus Christ. And that's what we all need to hear and we all need to know. Every single Sunday or every single Wednesday, we have to be reminded God's in control all the time. He's never not in control, right? He's always in control. We need to be reminded of that because sometimes it feels like he's not. And it's those times we have to trust in him. I wrote here in my notes, we are on a mission from God. We are on a mission from God. Hearts reaching out to other hearts. Souls attempting to speak to other souls so that they'll come to know Christ. So that they also can know that God has need of them. God needs you to reach the people that you can influence in your life. Not everyone can reach everyone. It's all of our jobs. God needs your talents to build a better world. He needs your resources to bless the ministry and to help people and come alongside people. So we need to know him. And then finally, where did I leave off? Verse 45. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. and were able, and were unable to do anything. Look at, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. To me, the last thing that God needs from us, and God needs from you, is to talk to him. When Jesus comes in and weeps over Jerusalem because his salvation was coming and no one seemed to care, and as he goes into the temple and sees what they turned his father's house into, his heart's broken. It's the second time he comes into the temple and clears it out because of business that was being done there. And what's absolutely amazing to me is 2,000 years ago, the love of money was still the root of all kinds of evil. It was all about business. It was all about profit. That's why the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. They were going to ruin their business. God, help us that we're not so focused on monetary gain that we miss spiritual growth. We need to be people of prayer. God's house shall be a house of prayer. That's what God said. This isn't just Jesus saying. He's quoting Old Testament. He's quoting Isaiah saying, my house shall be a house of prayer. The money changers were in the Gentiles' court. It was the place where the Gentiles were able to come to the temple and worship God. And as the other nations, not the Jews, come to worship God, all they see is business going on. And it broke Jesus' heart. Because God's house should be a place where someone can come and whether it's pray themselves to God or come and find someone that will help pray with them. We need to be people known by our conversation with God. Hey, it's great to fellowship with each other, right? Such benefit. But isn't this conversation so much better? I beg you, let prayer not be a burden to you. Let prayer be a joy that you enjoy talking to God. It's spending time with the Lord. I don't know what happened to the definition of prayer, but in God's house for someone says prayer, it's like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep. I would love it if every night I fell asleep because I was praying. Right? Because when you're praying to God, hopefully you're hearing from him as well. And that's why I love the last verse. That's why I want to read the rest of it. It says, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. We have to be listening for God's voice. God needs you, but he's the one that needs to give you the direction in your life. That's not my job. I've had people in my ministry over the years come to say, Pastor Rob, what do you want me to do here at the church? I want to serve in some place. What do you want me to do? I'm like, I want you to do what the Lord tells you to do. Because if I tell you to do it, you'll do it, but you might not do it with the right heart. Whereas if God tells you to do it, we do it for the Lord, right? So we have to hear his voice. The fact that God needs us is such a blessing. Let's be like that colt and make ourselves available to God. And listen, being used by God isn't something that has to be monumental. God can use us all in the very smallest of ways and it make eternal difference, right? Being gracious to one person, being kind to one person could all be what God wants you to do. But are you doing it? Are you fulfilling it? We got to trust him. We got to praise him. We got to know him and we got to talk to him. If we're doing all of those things, we're going to be in perfect, we'll be in the perfect center of God's will. Because God will help us deal with the world that we're living in. And it's a crazy world that we're living in. But the church needs to be that voice of hope and that voice of light in the world that we're living in because it's a dark, dark world. And there's some crazy things going on in this world. But let's not lose focus. Let's not lose why we are called Christians. Because we are followers of Christ representing him. Right? So let's be encouraged by this Palm Sunday that God has need of us because he wants to touch another life through your life. So let him, my friends, let him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. As we read this story and how hard it must have been for you, Lord, to enter into Jerusalem, the center of everything the Bible speaks of, the center truly of the universe, that the Messiah was coming. And yes, there were disciples there that were worshiping, but Lord, there were a lot of hard hearts as well. God, I pray for all of us that our hearts would be softened to your voice, to your word, and to your will. That God, that we're people that are talking to you and listening to you. Show us, God. Guide and direct us in these times that we're living in. We want to be the voice of hope in this world. We have the greatest news anyone can hear. And if we lose everything in this world, Lord, but still have you and still have salvation, we are rich. So help us keep our eyes on you, God, and you alone. Bless this church. Bless these people, God. Bless your children. That we would have a smile on our face and hope in our hearts and be ready when you call for us. When you say, I have need of you, Lord, may we respond yes and amen and be ready to move. We look forward to this week and our celebration next Sunday of the empty tomb, the victory over death. And because of that victory, we have life, God. Life eternal. Bless each and every one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.